Stand together as we sing this song.
I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day.
I don't know.
Is that the same key?
It's a different key, and the words are so different that it's hard for me to follow.
Oh, okay. All right, let's try it. Why don't you start then, and I'll follow you.
I think it's a different melody. It's starting at a different spot.
Okay.
Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you this evening. We thank you and praise you for so many blessings that are in our lives, Lord. We think of the fact that we can freely worship you in this country, and we can have a Bible in our own language that we can open on a daily basis. We have the privilege of being able to commune with you one-on-one. We don't have to go through a priest or a pope or some other human being. We have direct access to you, Lord. We thank you for sending your son Jesus down that cross of Calvary.
Amen.
We ask that you be with the services tonight, Lord. We thank you for all those that are here. We ask that you be with those that are not here yet, maybe are on their way, Lord. Bring them in for the service tonight, Lord. And we pray for those that for whatever reason might not be able to make it tonight, Lord. We pray that your spirit will guide and be with them and help them to come back to the fellowship once again with us. Father, in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. This time we'll direct your attention to our bulletins. Does anyone need a bulletin? We'll be happy. good to have some visitors with us tonight. It's always a blessing to have new people here. And Dom, why don't you introduce your brother for us tonight?
My brother right here, Leonardo.
Leonardo, welcome, Leonardo. Good to have you with us. We're glad that you're here with us tonight. And you're in what, first grade? First grade, all right. Anyone else here for the first time? Yes, Tessa's friend. Did you introduce your friend for us? Avery, welcome Avery. Okay. Are you from Northfield, Egg Harbor Township?
Northfield.
Okay. Welcome Avery. And that reminds me, tonight is Tessa's last night with us, correct? Before you move?
I don't know.
You don't know. Okay. Well, her dad's down there now, right? Or going down there.
Yeah.
And he'll be picking her up next week, so we wanna what's that? Oh, that's when he's picking you up? Oh, okay, so you may be here another time before it might. Okay. All right, so just in case, we want to pray for you tonight, okay? Just in case this is your last time. But if it's not, please come back next Wednesday or Sunday. Come back Sunday as well. So we're going to pray for Tessa. She leaves us, goes down to Florida with her parents, says, "Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" That's what we're doing tonight, is rejoicing in our Savior and giving him our prayer requests. Just by way of announcement, on December 9th, we have some that want to get baptized, and also December 16th. So we look forward to having two special days of baptisms. This coming Sunday, come on out. Everyone come on out again. This Sunday, we have a missionary coming to our church to preach about his burden and call for Israel. He's going to the nation of Israel to preach the gospel. So come on back this Sunday to meet him, and I'll pick up on the van at 9:15 over at Heathercroft and Penny Point. So anyone who wants to come there, if you need a ride, let us know. Okay, and we'll be and we also want everyone, the young people, 12th grade and younger, to be involved in the Christmas program practice this Sunday in Sunday school. We're going to need angels, we're going to need shepherds, we're going to need wise men, and we're going to need parts to play. So young people, come on back for that this coming Sunday at 9:30. So I'll be picking up at 9:15 if you'd like to be involved. 9:30, come on back to be in our Christmas program. Our Christmas program is going to be December 23rd this year. And so you'll be able to... We're going to have a huge manger scene right over here. We're going to have a stable. We're going to have Mary and Joseph. We're going to have a live baby, possibly, this year. Faith cooperates. She wants to be the live baby. And so we're going to have a nice manger scene, and we want to make it real special. So we need as many of our young people as possible to be in it. Then our choir is going to be singing, and then some other young people are going to be doing a dramatic reading. Yeah. Any other announcements that need to be mentioned? Yes, John.
Yeah, the beach trip.
Okay.
People sign up for that so we determine what day.
Okay.
If you want to go, you want to get your family on that way.
Okay, sure. All right, so we want to sign up for this peach shopping trip either December, 6th or?
6th or 7th.
6th or 7th. That's
a Friday.
Friday or Saturday.
Friday
or Saturday. So sign up. Which day do you want to... come for. Okay, we'll pass that around. Which one is better for you? All right, any other announcements that need to be mentioned? All right, it's good to have Callie back with us, and Mary Ann, welcome back. And it's good to have each one that is here. Carol?
Have we determined which days will be caroling at Meadowview and Atlantic?
Okay, that's to be determined. We're going to do the caroling at Meadowview on a Thursday before Christmas. That we can decide now. That'll be the 13th or the 20th. Which one is better to carol at Meadowview? 13th or 20th. Wellington, how long are you gone till?
I think
14th, okay. So let's push that back to the 20th for the caroling at Meadowview. And then at Atlantic, can we do that the 19th, the day before? Okay, so 19th at Atlantic Adult Day Center that Wednesday morning at 10:30, and then caroling at Meadowview Thursday night the 20th at 7 p.m. Yes?
So
The bulletin has final rehearsal.
That's right. I'm glad you mentioned that. The final rehearsal is Thursday night, the 20th. So, that's not going to, we don't want a conflict. So, we'll do, how about the week before, the 13th for caroling? We're just going to have to make up for Mr. Hodges' voice. It's not going to be there at the caroling at Meadowview. I think TJ and wants to come and some others, so let's we'll get that together. Okay, so 13th for Meadowview, 19th for Atlantic. All right, anything else? All right, this time we'll ask our ushers to come as we give to the Lord of our tithes and offerings tonight. And if we can have a special word of prayer, Mr. Hodge, for Tessa, as she possibly is going to Florida very soon. And we want to send her away with our prayers and for growth. We want you to find another good church, Tessa, like ours, a good church where you can learn and grow in the Lord, preferably. An independent Baptist church, they have a history of, teaching the Bible. So that's what we want you under. So we'll pray about that. Let us pray.
Dear God, we thank you for this night, Lord. We thank you for guiding us through the day safely. We thank you, Lord, for this time that we can assemble ourselves to worship you again tonight. Bless the Bible study, Lord, and bless the lessons and students and teacher, Lord, that your name will be glorified and each teacher, Lord, student will learn and grow. And we ask, to bless Tessa as she moves.
Amen.
In her safety and her travel and her parents. We pray that you guide her to the church, that she can continue to worship you, Lord, and fellowship with the saints.
Amen.
Again, we thank you tonight, Lord, for bringing Evan and Trisha back safely.
Amen.
We thank you for standing out to worship you as we give to you, Lord. You can see a given to us. And this we give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Prayer requests or answers to prayer tonight. We only have 5 minutes, so we want to make it as fast as possible. Yes, John.
A friend of mine down in Tennessee, Maria Peace, I think I mentioned her last week, her heart is out of the room, so she's getting a pacemaker put in, and she has pulmonary fibrosis. That's no good. And those where we might be slightly more personal. Most of us know my cousin Howard. My Uncle Howard, his father, we just found out that he has cancer. It's been known for a year, but the rest of the family did not do anything about it. His two daughters never took action on it. So he now has two large masses and lesions around in his lungs. Both his lungs, he's over in Meadowview. We're hoping they'll bring him home soon, but it doesn't look too good for him.
Okay.
And tomorrow we're going to go up to take break news to Howard.
Okay, so let's pray for Howard's dad and the family. All right, who else? Yes, Sarah?
I think my cat is really sick now because she caught something with the other day. Can you pray for her?
Okay. All right, anyone else? Answers to prayer as well. How did the Atlantic Adult Day Center go? Pastor Logan, why don't you share, fill us in on that? Amen. If we can, and this is for Pastor Logan, myself, and Carol, if we can go early, like 20 minutes early next week, I will not be there, but if you can go early next week, start to try to give the gospel to one person, try to zero in on one person, Give them the gospel. They may not be saved, but they may be saved. It may draw them. If they're saved, do a little Bible study, and it may draw them back to church. So we need to do more outreach over there since some of them have moved. So let's pray for our outreach, that God would bless it. That's how we got Milton. That's how we got many of them, by having the 20 minutes ahead of time to lead them to Christ. And then, sure enough, from then on, Milton has been faithful every week, the ones we have led to the Lord. So we praise the Lord for that. So let's pray for that ministry. Then Meadowview went well today. We had a full room. I think there was 20-some people there. And so they had us in the big activity room. So that went well. And decisions were made about prayer. That was what the sermon was about. Pastor Logan's message was about being consistent for the Lord and following Him. So, little faith. All right. Anyone else? Prayer requests. Carol.
First of all, I have a praise. Tim got his reports back today from the oncologist, and his tumors were not cancerous. They were not malignant. However, he does have to have additional surgery. He has what they call... I'm not going to remember it right now, but anyway, they're fatty tumors in layman's language, and they got the big masses out, those places, but some cells didn't come with it. They clung to the wall of the area where the surgery was done. So on December 21st, he will be having additional surgery. So first, praise the Lord, because he did not only take them through the surgery, but because the tumors are not malignant, but then also continue to pray for him as he goes through additional surgery. And likewise, Brock. Brock will be going, that's our grandson, for those of you that don't know, he will be going to Houston to MD Anderson Cancer Center on December 6th. December 6th. And he will start his protocol for chemotherapy for the stage 3 cancer that he does have in his colon.
Okay, so let's pray for Brock and Tim. All right, anyone else? Any other prayer requests? Yes, Pastor Logan.
I was going to ask prayer for the daycare center in Norma. Have somebody pray for John the church that speaks to in Spanish. I think we're missing out on a lot of people accepting Christ, so it caused our chance to be can't speak them like we want to speak them. And a lot of them don't speak much English. So if there's someone here, or maybe just pray that along with someone that would be available, they wouldn't be speak Spanish. I'm starting to understand Spanish. I've been 2 years of French. It was a waste because I couldn't find anybody to speak French to. But, I was in New York. I've been in New York for many years. I learned conversational Spanish. It can't happen, but we can start in New York. And we just like someone that speaks Spanish, so we can reach those people that speak Spanish.
Amen. Let's pray for that. Anyone else? Tricia.
Just want to praise the Lord for safety. Thank you all for praying and just for a wonderful trip. The Lord worked everything out. And best of all the families doing well, and it was a blessing to be able to go to. We went to two different churches. One with Eric and then one with Ethan. And I guess the best point of all, part of all, was for Thanksgiving. And my daughter-in-law had this long paper chain. We each got a piece of paper and needed to write down what we were thankful to God about.
Mm.
And then we shared that. So it just really focused everything on the Lord. It was a super blessing.
Amen. What a blessing. Anyone else? Yes, else?
Can you please pray for my grandfather? Because before I was born, he died.
Okay, all right, we'll pray for the family. All right, anyone else? Yes, Trisha.
Sorry, prayer request for Ethan. Okay. He's doing well, but he is exhausted. So a lot of papers are coming up, final exams in like a week and a half, and he's still working 40 hours a week.
Okay, let's pray for him. He did get the package, and he yes. said thank you to everyone. Did he say anything about it?
Yes, it was great.
Okay.
He's enjoying it, yes.
Okay, wonderful. Okay, at this time we'll dismiss to Master Clubs and Teen Youth Group and to Little Shepherds. What's that?
It consists with anything.
Wait, Sahara, no one's back there. You have to sit with Miss Dominique right up here. There we go. Nope. Sit with Miss Dominique. What? No, you're going to Master Club. All right. All right, the rest of us, let's turn our Bibles to Mark chapter 7 tonight. Mark chapter 7, as we look into God's Word. What do you need? Hurry back. Be right back. Mark chapter 7 tonight, as we look into the Word of God. Mm-hmm. Yes, how are you doing, Marianne? How's Tim doing? Oh, did he? Okay. Okay.
But on Monday he goes with a woman who's 5 days, 5 hours, and then Jessica,
he could go to the house. Oh, nice.
Tuesday and Thursday he's starting a farm, but he's actually going to work on a farm.
Really?
In Mays Landing.
Wow.
The guy hires special needs adults.
Hmm.
Good.
All right. So let's put that on the prayer list, too.
I have no idea what he would have on the farm, but hopefully Timmy likes it. I think it'll be good for him.
Yeah. Yeah, he'll get good at it. All right. Dominique, how are you doing? Good. All right. And Pat, how are you? Hanging in there. Was it too cold for you today? What's the weather tomorrow? Okay. Nope. Melina, come sit next to Miss Dominique. Right? Okay. You can charge your phone, plug it in, but you're not going to be on your phone. You're going to be next to Miss Dominique. Okay? Plug it in. All right. Luke chapter 7. Tonight is where we are, I'm sorry, Mark chapter 7, as we continue our study of this gospel, some wonderful truths from it tonight. Mark 7, and toward the end of the chapter, we are at verse 24, and let us bow together in prayer. Melina, plug it in and move up, please. Doesn't take long. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time tonight to look into your word. We pray you'd speak to our hearts. Thank you for this half of the week so far that you've gotten us through. We pray that you would now encourage us tonight through your word, exhort us, give us what we need spiritually, Lord. We pray that you would minister to our hearts. We pray that you would fill me with thy spirit, fill each one of us with your spirit, that we may be obedient to whatever you would lay on our hearts tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Mark chapter 7, verse 24. Mark 7, 24, and we're going to go to the cross-reference passage, which is Matthew 15, 21. So, okay, so keep a bookmark in Mark 7, 24, but let's go to Matthew 15, 21, which is just a slight bit larger of this account of the Syrophoenician woman. Matthew 15, 21. And there's much here about our walk with Jesus and our prayer life. Matthew 15:21, it says, "And Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon, and behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. And he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us." Here we see that this woman, who was a Gentile, had a need. Now, it's interesting to note that Jesus is now leaving the other cities of Judea and Galilee and all the cities thereabout to specifically go to Tyre and Sidon. Tyre and Sidon was the Gentiles' land. So Jesus is now showing his broader scope of the gospel ministry. Jesus is showing that the gospel is not just to be preached to the Jews, although it's to the Jew first, and also to the Greeks. So we see some wonderful truths about this lady who comes. Now it's interesting, the first observation is that is there hordes and crowds of people that accompany Jesus as he goes to Tyre and Sidon? No. In fact, just the opposite. Behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast. So here, you know, he doesn't publish his tidings. Hey, I'm here, everybody. Gentiles, I'm here to bless you. No, he doesn't say that. Jesus did not cry and publish his voice in the streets, as it says in Isaiah. He didn't do that. He was meek and lowly of heart. That he didn't, he wasn't loud and brash and tooting his own horn, so to speak. So as he goes, sure enough, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David." Here she recognizes Jesus is the Lord. Okay, O Lord. Now, she's not just calling him master. In the Greek, this would be kurios, the word for Lord, which would just mean master. How do we know she sees him more as just a rabbi or a master? What other phrase in here gives us that clue? Thou son of David. What is she saying about him? Okay, and so she's recognizing that Jesus is the son of David, that he is indeed from the line of David, and that he is the Messiah from the line of David. So here, put these two phrases together, and you can see this woman already believes. Okay, this woman already believes on the Lord, and she has a specific request that is made. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. Boy, how many young people today are being vexed with demons, okay? Being vexed with demons. It's of astronomic proportions. What are young people these days? Okay, phone away. Okay, give me the phone. Thank you. I thought you were going to plug it in and charge it. Okay, put it away. And Mr. Watkins, can you get the basket? Yeah, Mr. Watkins will put it in the basket till right at the end and get it back. But that's a rule we have in church, not to have a phone on. Yeah, we're holding it for you until the end, okay? You've got to put it in the basket. Put it, Mr. Watkins is going to put it right behind you, so that way you don't have to touch it. Yes, put it right there behind you and don't touch it, okay? No, nope. We know the temptations that you face. Trust me, we were kids. Thank you. There you go. All right, now leave it right there and listen attentively. This lesson is for you too, Melina. This will help you so you can be better behaved, so that you can assimilate in to the young people's time. Okay? Why does the devil try to get after young people today? Why? Why are they the target?
Maybe they're saying it's better that kids and teens play Pokemon games instead of reading their Bible because it's good for them.
Yes. Okay, he wants that done. But why does the devil go after... No, Melina, sit up straight. Why does he go after young people in particular? Why is that? What's that? Yes. They're an easy, soft target. He goes after them while they're young so he can build up in them what? Resistance to the Lord. Okay? So we've got to get them while they're young, right? Before they get into that stuff. We've got to get them while they're young, while they're children, while they're a little bit older, elementary children, even get the teens. You know, we got to get them before the devil has them sealed up in their friends that are dragging them down, telling them that God is not real, telling them all these lies. Okay, so the devil is trying to get our young people. Well, this girl gave in. She literally gave over her body to a demon. How does one do that? How does a teenager or a girl give over her body to the devil? Any ideas? Evan?
Maybe she wasn't saved and she wanted the devil to be in her heart.
Okay, yes, she was. She's not saved, obviously. She doesn't know the Lord. How? Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. It's sad how easy it is today, now more than ever. Now, this was before technology, so how did a girl back then, 2,000 years ago, open herself up to demonic activity? Well, it's by dabbling in witchcraft, dabbling in sorcery, dabbling in someone who she knew that was involved in these things, going after the wrong crowd. Obviously, her mother didn't want her in this, so how did she get involved? She had friends, the wrong kind of friends. She had the wrong kind of influences. And so, sure enough, the devil got in to her heart. She opened herself up to the devil. There's all kinds of ways, wizard magic, sorcery, witchcraft, and just about every movie, all kinds of movies, all kinds of TV shows have magic all ingrained in through them. Why? What is it that people are wanting and they go to the devil for it? People want power. They want some kind of power. They want to see some magic tricks. They want to see something fancy and magical. But you know what? God wants us to have the real power. God doesn't want us to have a cheap, fake, counterfeit power that the devil has to do limited tricks, but you sell your soul in the meanwhile. And the devil will take you to hell one day. That God has all power. Jesus said, all power or authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. So if we want real power, we need to realize, hey, it's not in the devil and his crowd and in the world. That's just cheap stuff. We need the power of Jesus Christ in our life. We need the Holy Spirit's power in our life. And so that will satisfy our needs. But this girl, she went in the wrong things, and she got possessed by a demon. She opened herself up. You know, we read on the news all kinds of ways that people do that. You know, every day we read, almost every day we hear about a shooting or some kind of violent act. How do they get to that point? Well, they opened themselves up to the devil. The devil gave them a demon, a devil, and filled them and they did that horrible act. And it's like they're not even real. Do you ever see like the people sitting in court as they killed, like, you know, the guy who killed many people in that movie theater? Do you ever see his picture and his video? You know, what is his facial expression? Blank. It's just like nobody's there. Like, this man does not think anything, does not feel anything. He's beyond cold and hard to any compassion, love that he has for any other human being. How does a person get to that point? Well, he gave himself over to a demon. That man obviously is demon-possessed, and it wasn't hard to see. He was so cold, so unfeeling, so wicked that he went in and he killed all these people. And so we're facing this on a grand scale more and more and more each day. And so we've got to wake up as Christians and have compassion on our young people and say, hey, how can I help you? How can I help you? I'm pulling you aside. I want to help you. there is mercy with the Lord Jesus, and He can help you out of this mess that you're in. We need to help young people today, and we need to do what we can. Okay, it says here in Matthew 15:22, verse 23, but He, Jesus, answered her not a word. And His disciples came and besought Him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. Here we see this woman, at first when she prayed, when she asked Jesus the first time, what did He do? He answered nothing. Okay, here we see, I read a couple of commentaries on this. This is a very interesting parallel to our prayer life, right? Our prayer life. At times we pray for something, and, dear, help me with this problem I have, I'm very earnest, and we pray, and then all day goes by, and we don't get any answer. And the next day comes, and we say, I don't hear anything. Well, why is Jesus answering us nothing? Well, He wants us to wait. He wants us to wait on Him, okay? That He doesn't have to answer in our time or in our way. He's not on our timetable. Jesus is on His all-knowing timetable. He knows what's best. He knows what we need the most and what we need the best. Okay, so we can't quickly say, he just doesn't care. No, He does care. Here, Jesus is testing this Gentile woman, and He sees her faith. You notice here, he doesn't just quickly give in. He doesn't say, oh, okay, just like the others, you know. It will be done even as you have asked, you know. No, He tests her faith. Why? Because He knows the faith that she has. He knows this is a woman, not just any believing woman here. This is not just any woman that knows Him as Savior and now is growing in her faith. No, this is a woman of great faith, and He's going to now test her faith. Why? Because He wants her to grow even more. He wants her to get even closer to Him to learn some principles of prayer. Okay, as verse 24, but He answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Here, Jesus is quoting Matthew 10, let's go over there, Matthew 10, 5. He's quoting what was said earlier. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans, enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Okay, so he's quoting what he just told the 12 earlier in Matthew 10, okay? But here, notice, why did Jesus even go into Gentile country? What was He wanting to start doing? He's now opening the door for the Gentiles to come in. The Jews have heard now. They've gone out. The disciples went out into many cities. The Jews have heard the gospel. Now Jesus is starting to open the door to the Gentiles. And so why would He even go into a Gentile city unless He was going to start a work there? And sure enough, Jesus was showing His love for the Gentiles and what power He was going to show in their midst. Okay? But here, notice, Jesus says this to her. So, what happened? Did she get flustered and say, oh, okay, and I got to go then? You know, did she stop asking Him? No. What'd she do? Verse 25, then came she and worshipped Him, saying, Lord, help me. So when we get that answer of nothing the first time, what do we need to do? We need to worship. Worship the Lord and say, You alone, Lord, are the one who can help me with this problem. You are the only one who can meet my needs, and I worship and praise Your name. You know, we need to fall down on our face before our great God and say, Lord, help me. And so we see here, she didn't get an answer the first time, so she worshipped Him. Well, let's find out how He answered, verse 26, but he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. Okay, here the word is in the Greek can be translated young dogs, like puppies. Okay, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs or young pups. You know, that bread is for the children first. And so here Jesus is teaching her a simple lesson. First, I'm going to the Jewish people and I'm giving them the bread. He just did the miracle of the 5,000 just a chapter or so before. So now how many baskets were leftovers? 12 baskets left over after feeding the 5,000. Well, how many crumbs do you think were left after 5,000 men and all the women and children ate? How many crumbs do you think were left behind? A lot of crumbs. Can't have deep bread without having some kind of crumb, right? And so here now, notice this lady she's smart. She's responding to the testing that Jesus is giving her. She's responding, and she's not backing down. It shows us we need to do the same in our prayer life. We need to not stop praying. Don't stop praying for any reason. I was listening to a message by my dad today in the car, a sermon he preached back in the late 90s, and saying that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. What is that talking about? Effectual. What is an effectual prayer? That word effectual is a very unique English word, has the idea of both effective, by its powerful, and it has the idea of continual at the same time, praying without ceasing. So here, the effectual fervent prayer, what is that? That's continually trying to be effective in prayer, as in we're keeping our sins confessed. You know, if you're in known habitual sin, and you're asking God to, you know, do something, you know, He doesn't have to do anything for you. You know, He really doesn't. So we need to confess our sins so that He can do something great for us, okay? The first thing we do when we pray is we should confess our sins first. We don't want to get to our prayer requests with sin in our heart, right? If we have sin in our heart, the Lord, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me, okay? So He doesn't have to answer anything if we are holding on to sin. But that effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Or a woman, you can put your name right in there. That if you pray and you're trying to stay as close to God as possible and you're giving it to the Lord throughout the day, guess what? That's going to be so powerful that it's going to move mountains. It's going to move mountains. You're literally, Melina, put the cord down, please. You are literally going to see mountains moved in front of you as Jesus takes care of things in your life. So we see here, don't stop praying, but continue in prayer. Pray effectually. That is, without stopping, and without sin. Okay, if we will do those two things, that God is going to answer. He will. And verse 27, how did she respond? And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. So here, she doesn't get shy or back down when Jesus said, it's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. What were the Gentiles? On surface value, this sounds a little bit mean, but it really is not. If you look at the full context, what are the Samaritans or the Gentiles? What are they? They are people that are they're the ones that are trying to put down the Jews. They're trying to make fun of them for worshiping the Messiah. They're trying to say, oh, you're not, you know, your Messiah is not the real Messiah. Come worship our idols, you know. They worship idols. The Samaritans, they would have a half Judaistic religion where they would bring in parts of the Old Testament, and then they would syncretize idols with it. And they would syncretize Mount Gerizim with it and make it into an idolatry. Okay, so Jesus isn't being mean here. He's literally saying the truth that the Gentiles were the ones who were demeaning the Jews and Christ and the Messiah and the Bible. And so they were called dogs because they had no cares at all for the true gospel. We don't want it. We have our own thing, and we want our sin too. Okay, so here we see it's important that we get that in, under our belt. Okay, so Jesus was not disrespecting her. He was just saying the truth. And she said, what? Verse 27, truth, Lord. She acknowledged it. She said, you're right, Lord. I have in my life cursed the Jews. I have in my life put down Jesus, you. I have in my life not wanted God. You're right, Lord. You are saying the exact truth. But now I am coming to you and I believe. I believe. I have believed on you. You are my Lord. And now I'm asking for just a crumb. Just a crumb. The dogs eat of the crumbs which fall off the master's table. Lord, you did so many miracles at the last town you were in. The town near Galilee. You just did a lot of miracles. Can you just not throw one crumb? Give some crumbs for us Gentiles. Give me one crumb for my daughter's sake. And what did Jesus say? So here, she quotes, she gives, the lady responded with faith. Faith is necessary to continue in prayer. Faith is necessary. One preacher said prayer is probably the hardest discipline of the Christian life. Prayer takes the most effort. Why is it? Why is prayer hard in the Christian life? Why is that? Because so many other things are visually in front of us, right? We are visual people. You know, we see this and that happening, and we see this needs to get done, and that needs to get done. Prayer is something that is unseen. It's by faith. And so everything is competing for our time and attention. But we have to realize there is so much power in prayer. That God wants us to come before Him in prayer because He is giving us the privilege of coming before His throne. That there is so much power there. If we come before His throne in prayer, that it's the greatest thing we can do when things are out of our control. It's the greatest thing that we can possibly ever do. Pray for ourselves, pray for our families, pray for people. Pray for others. Pray for the need of the church. Pray for souls to be saved. Pray for our missionaries. Pray for our country. All these things are so important. Why? Because it takes faith and it's so powerful. There's so much power in prayer that's why we have prayer meeting. Okay, then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is thy faith. She passed flying colors, the three waits answers that Jesus gave her. He said, wait, wait, wait. She passed with flying colors all three waits. And what did she get in return? She got her prayer request answered. She received a miracle. What did she receive? Her daughter. Jesus said, be it unto you even as thou wilt. And in Mark, let's go back to Mark and verse 7, chapter 7, and verse, Mark 7 and verse 29. For this saying, go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. Right at that moment, Jesus cast that devil out. How did he cast her out? She wasn't even there. How did he cast that devil out? From a distance. By what? What? By his power. By his spoken word. He spoke it. And that devil had to leave her. miles and miles away. That's the power that we have at our disposal. That's God's power, Jesus' power that we have at our disposal in prayer if we will just pursue and continue to seek after Him. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out and her daughter laid upon the bed. Her daughter was resting peacefully. Her daughter was in her right mind. Her daughter was waiting for mom. She wasn't carrying on. She wasn't throwing herself into the fire or into the water. She wasn't cutting herself. She wasn't thinking terrible thoughts. Why? Because that demon was out of her now. And that's what we need to realize is great things will happen if we will just seek God in prayer. That we need Him so much. You have a question, Melina? What time is it? It's almost done. We're going to break up for prayer very soon. And so we need to pursue God in prayer. That I'd encourage you, Melina, that the devil is going to get after you, okay? Don't let him win. You have the choice. You have you can either let God win in your life or you can let the devil win, okay? Even if you're saved, you know, the devil can still try to oppress your mind. He can try to get after you and get into your head. You know, he can't possess your body, but he can try to get into your head and try to influence you and oppress you. But don't let him win. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The Holy Spirit lives in you. And he can win. He is more powerful. See, but you've got to say yes to God and say no to the devil. You got to say, Lord, help me. At times, I can't control this or I can't control that. I need help. You got to call out to the Lord to help you, and He will. He will help you with anything that I've seen. I've seen people turn around 180 degrees. That they were really badly behaved before. They were into this, that, and the other, and they just didn't know what to do with themselves. And then they turned to the Lord, and then they became peaceful, happy, joyful Christians, and under control, self-controlled. Why? Because they gave themselves over to the Lord. They said, Lord, I need help. And that's what we need to do with our loved ones, with those in our church, with those at home, and with ourselves. Let us bow together in prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let us pray. Perhaps you're here tonight, you say, Pastor Rice, I don't want the devil to win in my life. I want God have His way with me, but I realize I need His help. And I want to pray more about this very situation. If that's you, just slip up your hand. Quickly, quietly, right there where you see it. Say, Pastor, pray for me. I want this. I want God's help. Amen. Amen. Is there anyone else? Amen. Amen. Is there anyone else? You say, Pastor, pray for me. I want God's help. God bless you. God bless you. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time to be reminded that You are a great and mighty God. And You have sent Your Son, Jesus, to show us how we ought to pray through the Lord's Prayer and through many other things here in the Scriptures. And as we see here, how He dealt with this Gentile woman who sought after Him. Lord, help us to be like this woman, to have great faith, that even though we may not receive an answer or wait, that we will continue and pursue You with our whole hearts until we get that answer from You. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. But we know that Your way is always best. We pray You'd help each one of us, Lord, to grow closer to You. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we'll break up into our prayer groups at this time. Melina, you're going to pray with the ladies right up here. And the men are going to pray on this side. We're going to pray in our prayer group. What's that? 15 minutes, and then everyone comes in, okay?
So
then the kids and teens come in. So pray with the ladies right up here. Show us how you can assimilate with the young people.